Writer Edith Wharton was one of America's greatest women of letters. In a career that began over 100 years ago during the so-called Gilded Age and ended with her death in 1937, she published over 40 books and countless more short stories and poems. Early on, Wharton proved to be a sharp observer of the class constraints and hypocrisy of her age, observations that she brought to life in her celebrated novels such as Ethan Frome and The Age of Innocence, for which she won the Pulitzer Prize in 1921. Currently, a film adaptation of her novel, The House of Mirth, is playing in movie theaters. The Library of America has just published a 2-volume edition of Edith Wharton's stories. Maureen Howard is the editor of the collection.
One of the things I love about those stories is that she was testing her storytelling techniques. And she had fables, and she had a little play. She had couple of stories that we would call naturalistic, very realistic, about the streets of New York and the poor in New York, as well as the more famous society stories. Of course, the other thing about the early stories, there are many, many marriage stories. She was troubled by her own marriage. There are tales of honesty between a man and a woman.
I wonder if you wouldn't mind reading from one of the early stories.
This is called The Fullness of Life, and Edith Wharton turned on this story because, in effect, it was too confessional. She'd been married to Teddy Wharton for more than 8 years when this was published, and it was an embarrassment later in her life. But look at how interesting it is in terms of the writing, in terms of what she was saying then about marriage and the confinements of her marriage or marriage in general. The woman in this story, in The Fullness of Life, has died and gone to heaven, where she finally meets a soulmate, not a Teddy Wharton, but someone who's going to be able to read Dante and Goethe with her and so forth. And he asks her, "You were married, yet you did not find the fullness of life in your marriage." "Oh, dear, no," she replied. "My marriage was a very incomplete affair." "And yet you were fond of your husband?" "You've hit upon the exact word. I was fond of him, yes, just as I was fond of my grandmother and the house that I was born in and my old nurse. Oh, I was fond of him, and we were counted a very happy couple. But I've sometimes thought that a woman's nature is like a great house full of rooms. There is the hall, through which everyone passes in going in and out, the drawing room, where one receives formal visits, the sitting room, where the members of the family come and go as they list. But beyond that, far beyond that, are other rooms, the handles of whose doors perhaps are never turned. No one knows the way to them. No one knows whither they lead. And in the innermost room, the Holy of Holies, the soul sits alone and waits for a footstep that never comes. 'And your husband?' asked the spirit, after a pause. 'Never got beyond the family sitting room.' 'Never,' she returned impatiently. 'And the worst of it was that he was quite content to remain there.'"
Well, this brings up, you know, a very puzzling, to me, a puzzling part of her life. Here she was, well known in her day for her writing, for her fiction especially, and she writes a story like this. What do people in her social circle think? I mean, Teddy probably didn't pay any attention because he didn't share her intellectual interests. But what did other people think when they read something like this? So exposed.
Oh, well, so exposed. And I think that she was conscious of the exposure. In fact, she wrote about artists and writers exposing themselves and the terrible trouble of crossing into a world and leaving behind a world of society and of certain moral prohibitions. What she was interested in these marriage stories, really was dropping the social surface to get at the truth. And finally, that's what mattered to her most of all in her writing, in her stories in particular. That comes up again and again, getting to the truth, getting through the social surface of life.
She was also fond of ghost stories, which seems kind of funny. I don't know. It seems kind of odd.
You know, I used to wonder about her ghost stories. I couldn't quite understand why such a rational woman wanted to write about the supernatural. And yet, when you read them, and I've come to absolutely love them, I think they're wonderful. They're not genre ghost stories, and they're not just about chills and thrills. She's always getting to some deeper thematic concern about who is alive and who is dead.
Is there a ghost story that you like better than any others?
Well, I love a story called Miss Mary Trask, which is about a gentleman going to visit a woman who is, the man believes he's talking to a ghost and finds out that in fact she hasn't died. But it's okay to give it away, because I think the real truth of that story is that Miss Mary Trask, though she may still be among the living, is dead. Her life is dead. It's gone dead. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, she is a ghost.
What do you think it was about Edith Wharton's writing that made her popular with late 20th century feminists? Because in a way, it's dated. It's a very beautiful, for the stories that are about social circles, it's kind of a beautiful, sentimental world.
Oh, I don't think sentimental at all. I think she was harsh. So many of her heroines end up with nothing. So many of her marriages are broken. So many of the lovers who come together must part in terms of just dealing with honesty about themselves. Or they don't have the nerve to go forward. I mean, that's a marvelous theme. Those who can break the rules and those who cannot. It's very basic. So I think far beyond just the feminists rediscovering her, I think that these stories are as contemporary as they can be. Of course, she had a tremendous, her work has a tremendous moral resonance right down to today.
Maureen Howard is editor of The Collected Stories of Edith Wharton, a two-volume set just published by the Library of America. Thank you, Maureen Howard.
Thank you, Lisa.